Morning, everyone. Morning. Welcome again to GACF. And it's a little bit chilly today. Let's take a temperature check. There's someone like that and someone don't. Would you please shake the person's hand next to you and see if they're warmer or colder than you? And that's the way we do weather forecasting in Scotland. You know, it's cold today. Yeah, my hands are freezing. I worked in a Christian school, and we would every morning we'd gather together and we'd pray in a circle, and nobody ever wanted to stand next to me because we would always hold hands in a circle and my hands were always cold, so no one wanted to stand next to me. And of course, good excuse, you know, cold hands. Thank you. That's right. That's what I like to think too. We have been, when we began this year, we began thinking about our New Year's theme. And if you were here on the second Sunday of the month, the 8th of January, you will know that our theme is expanding the kingdom, right? The kingdom of God. Good job if you were here. So let's have a little look. I would like to recap that message just to get us back into context and for those who weren't here. And we talked about harvesting for heaven. We looked at a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 9. And I'll show them again. Let's just look over that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, describes what Jesus was doing. And it says, Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep with no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, and here's our theme verse for this year, the harvest truly is plentiful. What we're short of is, that's right, workers. The laborers are few, said Jesus. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so we looked at that passage in that sermon, and you can download it from gacf.net if you didn't, and get into where we are. We want to see the harvest is plentiful all around about us. There are people who need to hear about Jesus, who are willing to talk about Jesus and to listen. And we need to pray that God will send out laborers. And of course, God's favorite way of answering that is by saying, when you say, Lord, send out laborers, God's favorite way of answering that is saying, you go. That's right. He doesn't say, oh, let me look for somebody else. He said, well, you're praying about it. You got the vision, get out there and do it. And we'll talk a bit more about that again. So we're thinking about the gospel of the kingdom, that we want to expand God's kingdom this year. So let's just, again, recapping, there were three key points from that sermon. I won't test you on them, but we looked at the first two were the model and the method that Jesus used for expanding the kingdom of God. What did Jesus do? And we looked at verse 35 specifically, and he went around teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. And he gave his disciples the same command. He sent them out and he said, you do the same. Go and preach this gospel and heal the sick. And as you have received freely, then also give freely. So Jesus, first of all, modeled for the disciples what they had to do. And then he instructed them, this is your method. Go out and do it this way. All right. And then we looked at our third point from the sermon in that week was, why bother? What motivates us? And of course, if you remember from that passage, we looked at the motivation that is Jesus' motivation. Why did he do this? The Bible says, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. What moved Jesus was love for the lost and for the dying. And so round about us, we have friends and neighbors who, if they don't hear about Jesus, they are also lost and dying. And so compassion should move us. And then, of course, we looked on in Matthew chapter 10, and we saw that Jesus said, the things that I told you in secret, what should you do with them? Make them public. Go and shout them from the rooftops. He said, the things that I've told you, just in this small group of disciples, he says, go out and tell everybody. And don't be afraid of man, what they can do to you. Rather, fear God, who has the power to cast body and soul into hell. And then he goes on, he said, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father in heaven. And then whoever denies me before men, well, you know the rest of the verse. There's a serious warning in there. He's commanded us to get out and speak for him. And so we say that's another motivation. Compassion and love for the lost. Of course, Jesus is worth that the fear of the Lord. And as we saw in John chapter 10, verse 37, he set the standard very high. Whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So that's where we got to in our first sermon on this theme series. We want to expand God's kingdom. We believe he's called us to do that. And we want to follow his method. Preaching, teaching, healing, giving. And we do that because we love God, of course. But we have compassion for the lost and dying. And we have fear and honor for the Lord to go and do what he commanded us to do. All right, we're ready to go on to today's message. Let's just take a moment again to ask God to speak to us. Let's open our hearts and as we get ready to open his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to this earth. And when he left, he did not leave us alone. He sent us his Holy Spirit. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts today. That you would use the written word of Jesus and would make it alive in our hearts. And challenge us to grow and to live and to become part of that wonderful process that you're doing, expanding your kingdom here. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today we want to look at another question. We were talking about harvesting for the kingdom. We say we want to harvest for heaven. We want to take others with us. But that's not all that expanding the kingdom means. And so our question, for those who are taking notes or listening online or watching at home, is how does the kingdom of heaven advance? No, we don't really have a video for those watching at home. How does the kingdom of God expand? And today as we answer that question, we'll see there are three main areas that I would like us to focus on. But they can all be summarized by one concept. When we use the word expand of course means to make bigger or to grow. How many of you have grown this year? Yeah, maybe one or two. Mostly not this way anymore because they've all gone to Sunday school, right? If you've grown like me, you know you're huge now. Growing means to get... It was a joke, okay? We get bigger. And that's a bit about what expand means. And so when we think about the kingdom of heaven expanding, it means a bigger body. Now, what's the body of the kingdom? Of course, we are the body of Christ. And so when we see expanding God's kingdom, we have to think about the body. The body gets bigger. And when we were small, we always wanted to be taller. And the other day, my kids again measured themselves. And their favorite way to measure themselves is against my shirt buttons, which button they reach up to. And they always want to get taller. And of course, my oldest son is hoping that soon he'll be bigger than me. He's almost bigger than his mom. But they want to be bigger, right? That's expanding. It's growing. But it's not just that. Kingdom expanding, well, that's something we see all around the world, right? I want to take over. And so one nation's king or president or commander or dictator says, I want to take more territory. Let's just invade the country next door. That's the way they expand their kingdom. And that's part, of course, of what God is talking about, is more territory. Does Jesus want more territory? Does he care about more stuff and more space? Yes, he does. He wants to take over the earth. He's going to build his kingdom, not in heaven, because that's already in his kingdom. He wants to build his kingdom here on earth. So expanding the kingdom means giving more territory, more authority to the king. All right, so what are the three areas in which we're going to see that? And these are going to be our 3 points of today's message. The kingdom expands inside me. And it says, I grow in quality and quantity. Inside the church, again, growing in quality and quantity. And then all over the world. And I believe that God wants to say something to you. God wants to challenge you in one of these areas to expand. To personally or corporately or over this world to do something that is going to cause his kingdom to expand. Do you believe that? Don't sound very convinced. Tell the person next to you, God wants you to expand his kingdom. Okay, now do you believe that? Okay, it doesn't matter if you don't, because by the end, I hope you will. And if you don't, by the end of the sermon, it probably means you were sleeping. Or you weren't paying attention. You can download and listen to it again. We are going to expand God's kingdom because that's what he's called us to do this year. All right, let's have a little look. We are going to ask ourselves over the course of this year, what am I going to do? What's my part And I would like you to be as practical as possible when we get to the end and answer that question. What is my part in each of these points? All right, here's the first one. Question is, how does God's kingdom expand? I already told you the first point of the message is the kingdom expands. Where is it? Inside me. Okay, tell the person next to you, the kingdom's going to expand inside me. Okay, you're starting to sound a little bit more convinced. Let's spell it out a little bit more. What does that mean? When we say that the kingdom of God is going to expand inside us. Well, in first place, of course, it means quality of Christ-like life. How is our quality of Christ-like life? When you look in the mirror, who do you see? That's a trick question, right? Who should you see? You should see yourself, because it's a human mirror, right? But when we look into God's Word, the mirror of God's Word, we should see Jesus in us. And we should be challenged by that to become more and more like Him. Now, you might not look physically like Jesus, especially if you're a woman, you're not going to look very much like Jesus. But your lifestyle should become more and more like Christ. And so let's look at a couple of verses that will help us to understand what Jesus thinks when He thinks about that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I'm sure you have them memorized, don't you? What does it say? I beseech you, brothers, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking for something unreasonable. He's asking for a reasonable service. If we say we belong to Christ, He says, well, here's what you have to do. Give me your body. Does your body belong to Jesus? It's a bit nervous. Yes. Okay. Does your body belong to Jesus?
Yes.
Does His kingdom rule in your body? It should, right? Does it need to grow some more? Probably it does, right? Because none of us have yet reached perfection and been lifted off this earth alive to be with Jesus because we're too good for this earth. We've still got something to do. And so He says in verse 1 that we present our bodies. But then He goes on in verse 2 and He says, be transformed. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, Jesus doesn't want to just have our bodies. He also wants to change the way we think. There may be some flaws in your thinking or my thinking. And Jesus said we get them transformed, renewed. And of course that comes from studying His Word. Jesus wants His kingdom to be built in us. That means to become more like Christ, we must first give Him our body. Here's my body. You can do whatever you want with me. And then we give Him our mind. And over the process of years, we come to think like Him, to think like the King of this kingdom. And then we go on and we look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. You may remember that we read that last time. I'll read it again. It says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And so what kind of sacrifice is Jesus looking for from us? How does God's kingdom expand in us? Well, of course, it's our body and soul, but it's not just, okay, here's my body. Now I'm going to lie down until you decide what you want to do with my body. He's already given us a command. If we go back to Genesis chapter 22 in verse 6, there's an interesting detail in a story that I'm sure you know quite well. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac, right? Abraham loved Isaac more than anything. The son he'd wanted for many, many years. And finally, when he gets to 100 years old, God gives him a son. He waited a long time. And God wondered, maybe Abraham loves his son more than me. Let's find out. And so God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son and I want you to? Yeah, kill him. Just say it like it is. Kill him. Okay? I don't believe that God is going to do that to any of you today. Please don't try this on your children unless your name is Abraham and God has certainly spoken to you. Abraham must have wondered, have I gone crazy? Has God gone crazy? Why is he asking this? Must be something wrong with him. But anyway, he got up in faith and he obeyed. And he went, no, don't sacrifice your children. Not allowed. He walked off 3 days journey. They come close to the mountain. They're coming up to the mountain. He tells his servants to wait there. He said, my son and I will go and worship God and we'll come back. And then in Genesis 22 verse 6, it says this. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. And what did he do with it? He laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand, a knife, and the two of them went together. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and what did he do? He laid it on Isaac. Why do we emphasize the detail of that in the story? Because there is a reasonable probability that the mountain that Abraham and Isaac went up was the same mountain on which Jesus was crucified. Now, it's speculation. We can't be certain, but it does seem like from our Bible geography that that may be the same hill. Whether it is or not, we know that Isaac was a picture of Christ. Abraham laid on his son Isaac the wood for the sacrifice. And so as Isaac walked up that hill, he was carrying his wood, his cross. Jesus walked up that same hill, or potentially that same hill, or another hill like it, carrying his cross. Who laid the cross on him? His father. Abraham laid the wood on his son. I mean, can you imagine adding insult to injury? You're taking your kid up this hill to kill him. Well, listen, you're going to die anyway. You might as well carry the wood. You know, what difference does it make? You're going to be dead in 20 minutes or half an hour. How long is it going to take us to get up this hill? Might as well carry your own cross. And Jesus said, whoever does not take up his cross is not worthy of me. You see, for God's kingdom to expand inside you, you need to take up your cross. God has given to each one of us a cross. And we find in the passage that it says, whoever does not take up that cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I wonder what cross God has given to you. I want to share a little story with you. I was talking to a friend last night on the phone. Some of you, I know in the prayer team, you've been praying for this guy. There's a man from Australia. He came with his wife to China for medical treatment. He has, I'm not very good at medical terms, but he has some kind of lung cancer. And he came here for alternative treatment. They said, if you have chemotherapy, you will die. He had alternative treatment here. And he was very blessed by our church because the prayer team and many people went to visit him and were praying for him. And he was in Guangzhou for, I don't know, about 3 or 4 months, quite a long time. And during the course of his treatment, at least one time, the doctors believed that he was dying. They thought he was finished. And he went through a really hard time. The church was praying. His family were praying back home. And he got better. And a tumor came out of the needle that they were draining his lungs on. And we believe that God did a miracle. As he was in his treatment here, he was witnessing to those round about him. And one of the doctors got saved. He gave him a Bible. And the doctor still, they've gone back to Australia now. The doctor still writes to him. He still prays. He still reads his Bible. And so our friend Jimmy says, this suffering is worth it. I went to visit him one day in hospital. This is about in December. And it looked like he was dying right there on the bed in excruciating agony. He was suffering terribly. When I spoke to him on the phone last night, he said the suffering was worth it. One soul going to heaven because of my little suffering is worth it. He says, we forget the suffering very quickly. Well, he got back to Australia. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. He was much better, but then he relapsed in Australia. He was taken into emergency, and he's been in hospital for about a couple of weeks now. So please do continue to pray. If you are in the prayer team, you know his story. Do pray for Jimmy. And a couple of days ago, the doctors came to his bed, and they said, you need to go home, and you need palliative care. You're going to die. Your time is up. You know, put your house in order. You're going to die. And so, of course, imaginably upset. His family were very upset. He's younger than I am, so he's a very young man. You don't need to laugh. You can just say that's right. And he was upset. Well, I spoke to him yesterday, and he was feeling a lot better because the doctors had come back to him. Of course, his people are praying back there. We are praying here. And the doctor told him, you're well enough to discharge. You'll be out of here this Wednesday. So in a couple of days' time, he's going to be discharged because God is working a miracle in his life. And so as I spoke to him yesterday, I'll show you his picture. There's his picture. This is in Clifford Hospital with his wife. And he said, the suffering is worth it. But he said, when you speak to the church, he says, I'll tell you his literal words were, blow them a big kiss from me. So you can just imagine that I blow you a big kiss But he feels the love of God from our fellowship and those who are praying for him. But his words were, it's worth the suffering. He's been on a roller coaster, and for some reason, God does not always heal instantly. In fact, sometimes God heals finally and he takes us home to heaven. But sometimes God does heal, and we believe the miracle happening in Jimmy's life is happening because God has a purpose. And in the hospital where he is now, he's witnessing again for Jesus. And God is using this suffering as a way to bring others to him. And so he would ask that question, what is your cross? What is your cross? Because all of us must cross. For the work of Jesus to expand, for the kingdom of God to expand, you must take up your cross. And for some of us, it may be terrible suffering, like our friend Jimmy. Do pray for him. He is much better, and they've said he can be discharged, but God's work is still going on in him. But what's your cross? You've got to take that up. Inside us, of course, God is interested in the quantity of our faithfulness. And of course, the fruit too, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. And if people do come to know Jesus and miracles happen, well, that's fruit to his account, not glory to us. But he wants us to be faithful. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, he who is faithful in that which is, how does it go? Little. That which is little, or that which is least, will also be faithful in that which is much. God is looking for faithful people. If you've got a job to do in GICF or for the Lord, then just be faithful. Whether it's a big job or a little job, keep doing it. Whether someone thanks you or no one ever thanks you. Whether they grumble and complain or whether they think you're great, just keep doing it. God wants committed, faithful people. So here we see our first point today. God is looking for his kingdom to expand inside. That is, God wants more control, more authority in your life. God wants more authority in your life. And he wants us to be faithful as we live for him. All right, that's our first one. Let's go on to our second. Oh, sorry, before we do that, ask the person next to you. Now, you can't really ask them. Ask them, what's your part in 2017? Go ahead, go and ask them. What's your part in 2017? And by that, what we mean is, what do you have to let God do inside you in 2017 to expand his kingdom? What does God need to do inside your heart, your life, my life, so that his kingdom grows? Have you taken up that cross fully, or have you been putting it down through the week and picking it up only on Sunday? Have you been dying to self and living to him? So what's your part? What are you going to do in 2017 to let God's kingdom expand inside you? I hope you have a practical answer. And if you have a pen, write it down. Probably don't write it on Facebook just yet. You can post that after the service. Second point that we're looking at today. So how does God's kingdom expand? First of all, is inside me. Second is inside. Inside the church, that's right. Let's go on and have a look inside the church. What does Jesus want inside his church? You know, I believe that just as we said for inside of us, quality and quantity, that's what Jesus is looking for inside his church, because the church is his body. The church is his body. Tell the person next to you, you are the church. As we sometimes say, we don't come to church, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Now, would you raise your hand if you are a fingernail of the body of Christ? I don't know. Fingernail. Anyone fingernails? No, don't know that. What spiritual gift is that? Anyone, the mouthpiece? Any prophets? You know, God has given us all a part in his body. And he wants that body to grow. And so inside the church, the first thing that we want to think about is the quality of the church. Okay, how good is the quality of this church? The quality of the church is only as good as the quality of its people, its members. How good is the quality of the church? How good is the quality of Jerry? Come on, Jerry, answer that question. No, don't answer that question. How good is the quality of James? See, if you sit in my range of vision, you might get named. Or Troy, I know Troy is out there. Even if I can't see him, I know he's out there. Right? The church, the body of Christ, depends on the quality of each individual member. He said, we are members, in particular, of the body of Christ. And so he wants the quality of his church to grow. I know that the complaint sometimes of the church is there's too much hypocrisy, and they're all, why do they even go to church? Well, at least we're coming to church. At least we're coming to church. Don't give up coming to church, even if you are a hypocrite. But over the course of this year, Jesus wants you to be less of a hypocrite And not just look like a Sunday Christian, but actually be a Monday Christian too. And then how about a Monday to Friday Christian? And then how about a Saturday night Christian? God wants us to be a Christian all week long. And so he's looking for growth in the quality of the church. That is true discipleship. In Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us that speaking the truth in love, we may grow old. No, he didn't say grow old. He said grow up. God wants us to grow up, mature. When I was a child, I thought as, and then I grew up. That's the quality inside us. We become more of a disciple. We look more like our master. We speak more like our master, our king. We think like him. Quality inside the church as a body of Christ. How well does GICF reflect Christ to our community? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, it says this: do not love the world or the things of the world, because they are passing away. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The question for our church is, what do we really love? For the kingdom to expand, of course, we must love our king. For this the quality of this church, for GCF to grow, then we must not love the world. And that's a question for the reflection in our own lives is, what do we love? If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Also there in 1 John, he said, whoever is a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That doesn't mean we don't love the people in the world. It means we don't love the world and the stuff in it. It means that Jesus has called us to be different and not to love that because it's passing away. He has called us to do the will of his Father, and that's what makes us abide forever. And the second, of course, is quantity. Jesus wants his body to grow in size as well as in quality. He wants people to be added. Why is that? Well, because the alternative is frightful. What's the alternative to joining the family of God? Staying in the family of the devil. And where does the family of the devil spend eternity? With their father. And where's he going to spend eternity? In hell. The alternative to God's body growing, the church growing, is the devil's group. Well, he doesn't have to do very much because they all belong to him anyway. Unless they come to Jesus, they all belong to him. And so Jesus wants his body to grow in quantity too. Now, of course, that's not the only measure of success of a church, but it is important that GICF is reaching out to those around about. How do we do that? He already gave the method, as we said in the last sermon on this subject, through preaching his word, by teaching those around about us, by healing the sick, and by giving as we have received. Jesus has called us to make GICF grow, first of all in quality, and then in quantity. Let me give you a practical example. I don't know if you're in a life group. If you're not in a life group, you're in danger. Why is that? Because it's easy to come to Guangzhou and get lost. Now, I'd just like to have a quick check. Would you please raise your hand if you've been in Guangzhou 1 year or less? Okay, quite a few people. Would you raise your hand if you've been in Guangzhou 1 or 2 years? Okay, put your hands down. Have you noticed how easy it is, if you were a Christian back in your home country, if you are born again, you were in a church, how easy it is in Guangzhou to just get a bit colder, just not hang around Christian stuff so much, to be distracted, to get busy. This city has so much to offer. Listen, I've got a great job for you, but it doesn't mean you're going to have to work every Sunday for the rest of your life. They've got this great job for you. It just means you're going to have to not say anything. You know, it's a little bit underhand, but never mind. This city has a way of dragging us from our faith. If you haven't noticed that already, you soon will. Guangzhou, the devil loves Guangzhou. It's a great place for him to drag away those believers who were faithful in their home church back in their home country, but now they're alone. Alone. At the end of the pack where the devil loves to attack. So don't be a lonely loner in Guangzhou. Okay, if you are here by yourself, get in a small group, a life group. Get around people who can help you to be accountable. Don't be lonely. If you feel lonely in GICF, you need to get involved in a ministry or in a small group, a life group. Belong to this body. As some of you know, my father-in-law and mother-in-law were here for a couple of months It's quite a long time. But one of the good things, one of the best things my father-in-law said to me while he was here, he stood after a service and he looked around at the church and he said, "It's just like a family, isn't it?" He's not a Christian, not a believer. We're praying for his salvation. Join us in praying for that. But I was so impressed because he looked around, he saw all the people and the love going around and the people hugging, and he said, "It's just like a family." And I was like, "Ah, praise the Lord. Finally, you know, we're doing something that Jesus said. He said, they will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another." So I'm pleased with that. Thank you for showing love to me, to my family, and to one another. He saw Christ in here because of love. And he felt like it was a family. So don't get lost in Guangzhou. But also, don't love the world while you're here. We need to ask ourselves that question. Who do we love? Who do we love? Because whatever you love, you better make sure it's eternal. People are eternal. Stuff is not. Jesus is eternal. His kingdom is eternal. The physical stuff that we have here is not. Make sure that what we love is eternal. Be involved in Guangzhou. All right, that's the second point. First of all, we said God's kingdom expands where? Inside me. And second thing, expands inside. All right, here's our last one. It's going to expand where? All over the world. How does that happen? Our question we're asking about is, how does God's kingdom expand? Okay, it expands all over the world, and it happens when Christians like you say me. That was terrible. Say me. Okay, don't say you to me, say me to me, and I'll say me to me. Right? Christians like me in the world who have a real job, who are real people, who get sick sometimes, who sometimes make mistakes, who have to work, have to get up early in the morning, who have to have makeup days on Sundays, even when they don't like to. Real Christians in the world who are being faithful, diligent, trustworthy, Christians who reflect Christ. How will God's kingdom expand outside when you and I live for Jesus? God wants to take over the world. Now, I know that sounds a bit like one of those alien movies, you know. We've come to take over the world. That's what God wants to do. God lives in heaven in one sense, although he's everywhere, and his son came down so that he can take over the world. And how is he going to do that? Not with angels, with people, with me, with me. How is God going to take over the world? By you doing your part. All right, so that's in first level. It's just you being a good Christian where you are. Pray for those round about you. Talk to them about Jesus. Just live out your life as a Christian. But in second place, it also means Christians, say me, in leadership. Are you in leadership? You might be in leadership of a business, a company, a school, a classroom. You may be in business or in leadership in your family. You in leadership is how God's kingdom expands. We're not all necessarily called to formal leadership in a business, but we are all called to lead for God, to show those round about us. But when Christians get into leadership, it's an opportunity for God to do what? Expand his kingdom. He wants to take over. Here's another little bit. Hey, that Christian there, he's got a business. Okay, now that business belongs to me, says Jesus. Do you agree, James? James, of course, has to nod his head because we're in church on Sunday. Monday morning, I don't know what he's going to say. Because God said, that business belongs to me, James. James said, no, that's mine. Okay, Jesus, you can have the business. The profit is mine. Right? Jesus is saying, if you are in leadership, then your position belongs to him. Whatever you do belongs to him. And your job is to use your position to do what? Come on now. What are you going to do? Expand his kingdom. That's what Jesus has called us to do, to expand his kingdom. Me in leadership, you in leadership. What's the purpose of that? To expand God's kingdom here on earth. And then, of course, there is the other possibility, that leaders already in positions of authority meet Jesus. How's that going to happen? Come on, shout it out. How's that going to happen? Come on, shout it out through. It's all about you. Now, that's not true. It's all about Jesus. But for the purpose of this sermon, it's all about you, right? How will other leaders round about me meet Jesus? Through me. You are involved in many different circles, your family, your home country, Guangzhou, and you have your circle here of people. And many of the people that you know will never come to church. And the preachers in this church may never have a chance to talk to them about Jesus. But you do. You have the opportunity to talk to all of the people that surround you. And when you bring a leader to Jesus, there's a good chance that Jesus will get that area of leadership to which that person belongs. If that person will come in and they will belong to God's family and they grow in quantity and quality just like we are, then Jesus gets another little bit in his kingdom. His kingdom grows with one little classroom, one little small business, one big business, one more person at a time. You see, God really wants his kingdom to expand. And sometimes we forget about that. We think, oh yes, that will happen when we get to heaven. And it's not. It will happen when you and I do our part. God's kingdom expands all over the world through... Come on, shout it out. God's kingdom expands all over the world through... When we believe that, it will happen. Rarely does Jesus send an angel or does he come himself to do that work. He uses his body, which is you and it's me. It's me doing my part. Jesus wants to build his kingdom. And of course, then we have to face that question again. What's my part? What are you going to do to build God's kingdom in Guangzhou in 2017? That's a real question, expecting a real answer. I hope you don't come to this sermon just to be entertained or just to have a nice quiet sleep under the soft sound of my voice that just rocks you off. I hope that's not why you're here, right? I hope you're here to take something away, as Charity prayed, that will make us go out differently. I hope you will take out of here a decision today. That is my desire, that as you look at these scriptures from the Word, you're going to take out of here a decision to do something for God to expand his kingdom in Guangzhou. I want to finish by looking at the same words as we began with, but this time in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus, after these things, appointed 70 other disciples. He took this group of 70 guys and he sent them out two by two before him to all the places he was going to go. He said, I'm going to go to that city. Would you go ahead of me and announce the good news? He said, the harvest truly is great and the laborers are few. So he says, again, this same thing. The harvest is great. There are many people who need to know about Jesus. There are many things that need to belong to Jesus that don't yet. And he's waiting for us. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then he said to them, go your way. Behold, I send you out. Today, Jesus says the same to you. Behold, I send you out. Church is where we come to be built up, to be encouraged, to be edified, to have fellowship and to worship and to praise together. And then he sends us back out to build the kingdom. How are you going to build the kingdom? Well, the passage goes on in verse 17. It says, after they'd gone out and they prayed for the sick and they cast out demons and all the wonderful things they did, and they came back with joy saying, wow, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus, well, he didn't literally, but he's like, yeah, great, wonderful, wonderful. Actually, he was impressed. He said, I saw Satan fall. But anyway, he said, don't rejoice about that. He said, that's not the big deal. The big deal is not the demons. He said, the big deal is that your name is written, where is it written? In heaven. The greatest thing that God wants to happen is to get more names written in his book in heaven. And how is he going to do that? You and me. He's looking for kids to join his family. Not little children necessarily, but adults too, who can join the kingdom of God. He wants his body to grow. He wants you and I to spread his kingdom. He wants to take over. He really does. Of course, what are we going to do about that is the question. Here's our conclusion for today, because you see, we must face the question, why would you bother? The most important thing in life, of course, is to be happy, right? Right? The most important thing in life is to be happy, right? Yes or no? What's the most important thing in life? To please God. I don't think that's written in the Constitution, is it? All men have the same rights to life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. I'm not going to make any more comments about that. Why would you spend your time, your energy, your money, your resources on building a kingdom? Why would you do that? Why would you spend your life and your talents and energy to build a kingdom for somebody else. Why would you do that? God told us to. That's good. We're obedient. It's certainly true. What else? If you were here in that previous one, you have some idea. Why would we spend our energy? Because we love the King. We love the King. We say, I see what Jesus did for me. He died on the cross for me. He's the King that's coming back. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He's not coming back to die again or to be a little baby anymore. He's coming back to be the King. Why would we spend our energy building someone else's kingdom? Because we love the King because of what he did for us. Jesus died in your place. He died in my place. And so we are grateful for that eternally. And so because we love our King, we're willing to spend our lives building his kingdom. We're willing to spend our lives building his kingdom. And so, as we said in that previous message, let love, fear, and compassion motivate us to love for Jesus. Not just to live for Jesus, but to love for him in 2017. What are you going to do in 2017? Well, it all depends on what you love most. If you love pleasure most, that's what you'll do in 2017. If you love money most, that's what you'll be chasing in 2017. If you love enjoying yourself most, that's what you'll spend time doing in 2017. But if you love Jesus most, the way you'll spend your year 2017 is expanding his kingdom. That's what he's called us to. Expanding the kingdom is our theme for this year. I trust that you will join GICF. You are part of GICF in doing that. But before I finish, I must just remind you, if you are not yet a child of God, then you need to become one. Worship team, come on, join us up on stage. As we get ready to close, I must again make that invitation. You know, if you are not yet in the family of God, then he wants to expand his kingdom in you today. I know in a church of this size, in a mixed multitude like this, there are some people who haven't yet given their hearts and their lives to Jesus. And that's what he wants most. He wants you. Why? Because he loves you. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, you've never said, yes, I want to belong to your family, Jesus wants to do that for you today. Right as the music team are singing, I'll be standing at the front. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, please come forward. I would like to pray with you and lead you to join the family of God in the same way. There's nothing special or magic about me, but Jesus commanded us to pray for the sick. If you have a sickness you'd like to be prayed for, please do come down the front. And I would be happy to pray that Jesus will do his work in your life. Let's pray. And as I pray, I ask that you would just commit in your heart to say, I want to be part of building God's kingdom. I want to be part of building God's kingdom. I want to expand God's kingdom. I love my King, and so I'm going to serve for him this year. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for your sacrifice on the cross. And we look to that man on a cross who doesn't look very much, but who we know is coming back as a King. You are our King. We want to love you and demonstrate our love for you by expanding your kingdom, by giving you authority more and more in our lives, by making our fellowship a place where you have first place, by taking over the world in your name. O great King, rule in my heart, rule in our hearts, and cause us to be part of your building project this year. Lord, we're not worthy of that. None of us. But yet we know that perhaps there are some here today who are not born again. Lord, touch their hearts. Let them see Christ, the crucified, but Christ the crowned, the King who is coming. We can only bow before you and just recognize that all that we are belongs to you. You rightfully own us, and you have a rightful claim on us to live for you. Lord, do your work in us. We commit ourselves to worship our King by our work, and expand your kingdom this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, stand with us now as we sing that song, as we get ready to worship our King of Kings.